Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. This is episode number 26. My name is David Smith. Today's going to be a slightly different show than I typically do with sort of links and discussion. Obviously going to be talking about Steve Jobs and his legacy and sort of what that means for me, what that has meant for my life, and so on. So it's just going to kind of be some rambling thoughts of an Apple fanboy, I guess. So let's get started. I remember quite well when the first time I ever saw Steve Jobs, was at a WWDC a couple of years ago. I believe he was introducing the iPhone 3GS, and I mean, it was kind of a strange thing. I mean, I'm not that into music. Most people kind of have that experience, really, and they're going to a concert, and you know, the first time they see Bono walk out on stage, or whoever. I mean, I'm sure it was much like that back when the Beatles were doing their thing. You know, it's like that first time you saw John Lennon or Ringo or any of those guys. And I just remember it's kind of the strange thing of kind of, you know, getting up at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning to get in line for the keynote, just hoping that he would be there. Because at that point, we had no idea. I mean, it was sort of 50-50 if he was going to be there or not. You know, his health at that point wasn't that great. And so no one really knew what was going to happen. And so I just remember just kind of sitting there and waiting and waiting and, you know, finally getting to the room, waiting and waiting. And then out he comes, and you know, he does his thing. He does that thing that I think most of us will remember about him, you know, with where, you know, so much of his life was private, so much of his business was private. Very few opportunities to kind of see Steve, see what he did, see what, you know, sort of see what he was doing behind the scenes. We see the outgrowths of his work, which are amazing, and the things that I use every day. I'm sitting here on a desk surrounded by Apple technology, you know, Apple Cinema displays, iMacs, iPads, iPhones, iPod Touches, MacBook Pros, all kinds of computers just surrounding me that are all things that he had a hand in making. But we didn't know very much about him. And we just had these little windows where we got to see him, and we got to kind of, it's almost like sit at his feet and hear him talk about what was important to him, what was going on, what he thought was cool about, you know, Apple, where they were going, and so on. And, you know, I remember him walking out on stage and kind of going crazy in just a wonderful way that no one around me thought it was strange. No one thought it was kind of weird that, hey, this is, you know, he's a CEO of a technology company. It's like, get over it. Just like, no, we were all excited. We were there to see Steve do his thing, to hear his show, and, you know, to understand where we were, you know, sort of what the next thing that we needed to care about was. And, you know, that was just a privilege to have been there and watched that. And I remember, you know, the exact same thing happened this last WWDC a couple of months ago, which I guess was his last keynote, which, you know, the same thing where, you know, I remember him coming out and kind of doing the show and, you know, doing a couple of introductions. And then it had that weird feeling where during that keynote, he's walking, he does a little bit of introduction and then essentially hands over to the other guys, you know, to Filler and Forstall and the other guys to talk about what's going on. And you kind of had this sense of, you know, is he not doing well? Is this kind of the end of an era? Have we seen his last keynote and he was just kind of here to pass the baton on? And then he comes out towards the end and starts talking about iCloud. And I just remember being absolutely struck by how excited he was about iCloud. How it seemed like what it was sort of getting towards was this vision that he had for computing, a vision for what he wanted computing to be for people. And all of a sudden it was possible. All of a sudden, you know, we're at a point where, you know, the software and the hardware and everything kind of works together. And Apple's able to kind of fill this vision for, I think he's had for years, of this very integrated, totally seamless user experience that you can be working on a document on one computer. You pick it up, you go somewhere else, you're on your iPad, you're doing it. You bring your iPhone on a train, you can still be using it. And it's all kind of this interconnected, incredibly easy-to-use system. You could tell that he was just excited. And I think that's one of the things that I always kind of sticks with me is how, for all the things that he made, and I mean, you know, I'm sure we've all heard the lists sort of go on and on, where he made the iMac, the personal computer, you know, he sort of saved Pixar, he did the, you know, the iPod, iTunes, the iPhone, the iPad, all the, you know, unibody MacBook Pros were done under his tutelage, the new MacBook Airs, all these crazy things, but he still was always excited about it. And maybe that's just good showmanship, but I think you kind of get the sense that he really was excited. He really enjoyed. He really was happy to be doing that. And that's just sort of contagious. That was sort of the reality distortion field, people would call it. But he was excited about what he was doing. And that showed. And I think that was one of the things that is just most striking about him, is that he didn't take he didn't take things for granted, and he really cared about what he did. That he was going to make, if he's going to make a phone, he's going to make the best phone possible. And not even just possible, he's going to push the limits of possible to a point that it's almost absurd. That, I remember when the iPhone first came out, and you're kind of like, what is that? You know, that's not a phone. That's what? You know, you at that point, I mean, all the phones were these, you know, the closest things to it were these, like, you know, Windows Mobile devices and things. I mean, I was even a developer back in the day for Windows Mobile devices, and they were these kind of slow and clunky, you know, sort of work. You had a stylus, and then all of a sudden he comes out with this, you know, capacitive screen that's massive and beautiful, and it's just kind of like, oh my goodness, what happened? Yeah, and then, let's see, so, and otherwise, it's just kind of a crazy thing. Like, I was thinking about my life as an Apple fanboy, as a, you know, as an Apple nerd, as whatever. And I was struck by how relatively short of a period I've been an Apple guy, and yet how close I feel to Apple as a company, Steve Jobs as a founder. You know, I've dug out the receipt from the first Mac I ever bought. It was a 2.33 gigahertz, 15-inch MacBook Pro. I ordered it on October 29th. In 2006, so about almost five years ago. And, you know, I still have pictures of unboxing it. I remember at the time, it was the funny thing of, I got that MacBook Pro to run TextMate on, that I was getting into Rails at the time. I was doing some web development, and everyone said, oh, you need to get a Mac. And I remember getting it, too, because I was going to do some consulting. I was going to do consulting with some government contractors, with some people who, you know, kind of work in those office environments that everyone has the exact same Dell Latitude, you know, C632982. That's kind of boring, huge and clunky. And I looked forward to walking into those meetings with them with their massive clunky computers that look like they're cobbled together, because they are, and, you know, open up this nice MacBook Pro. And this wasn't even in the unibody days. This is just an old beat up, you know, sort of the old days of, there's still aluminum, and it was still incredibly light and incredibly thin, and it still runs great. You know, I have it on my desk and it works fine. And it's 5 years old, and, you know, I've stepped on it a few times. I've dropped it many times. And I remember unboxing that, and I have pictures of that. And I just think it was just so striking that how that looked, and how sort of that was the beginning of an era. I mean, I've never owned a PC since, I don't think. No, I don't think so. And I don't expect to ever, I will again. I mean, I don't see a point in doing that in many ways. I just want, you know, I just like the Mac. The Mac works. And I think even beyond just sort of those things of like, oh, is this one better than this? It's, there's an aesthetic to it. There's a sensibility to the Mac that just kind of makes sense. That everything's very thoughtful, thought out, and you get the impression that the goal in mind is, you know, it's like the goal in that as was created was for my benefit, for my joy, for my, you know, it's for me and with me, and it was designed with me in mind. It wasn't designed with price in mind. It wasn't designed with, you know, ease of support, any of those types of things. The goal was to make me happy, and that shows, and that makes, you know, that you feel that, and you know that. And I think my last sort of anecdote that I was going to talk about is, I was going to talk about my dad, and when my dad got him his first Mac, and this was only a couple of years ago. He got a 13-inch MacBook Pro, and he'd always been a PC guy before that, and he always had these big, you know, sort of PC towers that, you know, sort of with the big CRT monitor or whatever. And, you know, he runs a PC for work and so on. And I just remember the sort of the joy that he had when he would talk about his new Mac and the things that it could do and how it did them, where he would be, you know, it's like everything just kind of worked. He wanted to get on the network. And so you just kind of, it pops up and says, oh, I found a network. Do you have a password for me? Sure. Done. Oh, well, that was easy, you know, versus, you know, sort of you're on a PC and it's this crazy process of trying to do all this stuff. And he goes back to the same hotel, you know, months later, and it's like, oh, I see, you were here before. Let me just go ahead and connect that for you. Or any kind of other, there's any number of other features and things that just kind of, they just kind of work. And my dad's a smart guy. He got me into computers when I was a tiny kid. I mean, I used to program on a Sinclair Spectrum, which was, you know, way back in the day. I mean, you know, you'd run programs that were booted off of audio cassettes that you'd plug in and listen to essentially while it loads up the program. Yeah, and I mean, in many ways, I owe my career to sort of that love of computers that he instilled in me, you know, from when I, as long as I can remember. I mean, I don't think I have that many memories before there was a computer in my life. And he knows computers, but he'd never had a Mac. And then it's that difference of once he finally got his Mac, how much more he seemed to enjoy computing, that it was less of a chore and more of, you know, sort of more of a pleasure. And it's one of those things that you always think about sort of in anything you do. There's something powerful about having the right tool for the job. You know, it's like having a knife when you're cutting, you know, sort of when you're cooking and you're cutting something up, the difference between having a sharp knife and a blunt knife. And a sharp knife doesn't necessarily have an end result that's strictly better. You know, you can still cut a carrot with a blunt knife, but the process of doing that and the way you feel about that process is so much different when it's just, you know, smooth and you're able to cut right through it. And I think a lot of that's, you know, sort of Apple's are just, they create that tool that just feels right in your hand, that just works correctly, and just really is effective. And so I just hope that continues. I mean, I think Apple will, you know, will probably be fine. It's a funny thing when you think, you know, how can Apple survive without Steve? I mean, I think it'll be different. I think I'll feel different about it because there isn't a person who I'm attached to. That it's a company now, and that makes it more amorphous and less personal, and you know that's sad. But at the same time, I think what they do and how they do it will be the same for the future. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if at some point the next Steve Jobs, whatever that means, comes along and revolutionizes something again. And I look forward to that, and I hope it's in my lifetime. But for the foreseeable future, you know, I'm an Apple guy, I'm a Mac geek, and, you know, I couldn't be happier about that. So, you know, it's like, I feel for Steve's family, and it's, you know, it's sad, but, you know, it's not a bad thing when you have a life that is lived to its fullest in a way that is so clearly, you know, that I don't think anyone can say that he compromised, that he didn't live the life that he wanted to lead. And as a result, he created amazing things. And the world's a lesser place without him in it. And we'll miss him. But I guess the best thing we can do is just move on. And as always, it's kind of like what it was. It's like, what would Steve Jobs do, right? And you hear about these people who work at Apple, and that's kind of their mantra. Was like, you know, they're almost developing with Steve over their shoulder, and you kind of makes you wonder what the world would be like if. Everyone did all their jobs. You know, what would Steve Jobs do when he's looking over your shoulder? If everything you do, you know, it's like you'll compromise a lot less. You'll slack a lot less. You'll build amazing things a lot more. And I guess that's the best we can do. All right, thanks.